Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Go get them, everyone. A lot of energy, a lot of focus.
Were they back here today? Were they here in the bar before?
Well, we're here in the bar the last time here. What is up, everybody, and welcome into Studio B.
Let's go!
Can you guys believe we got pushed to Studio B for soccer?
Yeah, Kale, I wanted to hear some, like, Bruce Springsteen open us up. Yeah. Like, some Born in the USA.
Get us hype.
What's the vibe I was on?
Did you guys, Bruce Springsteen, you got, that's America to you?
That's a pretty good one.
It is, yeah. It is pretty good.
I mean, the song is Born in the USA.
Yeah, that's why.
Like, that song.
To me, if you said, like, American music, I would think, like, anthem country or something, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. But you know what? He's a blue-collar man, and shout out the blue-collar Americans out there.
I've asked you this before, but, like, you don't really like Bruce Springsteen, do you? You just like it because you have to?
Yeah, a little bit. It does all sound the same. Like, you know what I mean?
He has some bangers, though.
Three bangers, and then he rewrote them.
What are his bangers?
10 different ways. Rosalita is great.
I'm going to have to look him up here. I like all of his slower
Born to
stuff.
Run. Born to Run. Born in the USA. Banger.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, I like gave it a name. I'm on Fire. No. Atlantic City. These are good. These are good songs, man. Mm. No, City of Ruins.
Yeah, my city of Ruins. Atlantic City. I know Atlantic City. Yeah, I'm really exposing myself.
Pretty.
I mean, Born to Run. Just all the same thing.
Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna have a good show for you today, guys. We are riding a high right now at the DMVR bar.
America.
You guys know I'm not the biggest soccer guy. You could just assume that. You might not have known that, but you could have guessed it. But you know, the World Cup is so fun, and I got to be honest with you. I've been here for every single one of the U.S. games. Bangers. Honest to God, surpasses anything we've had for a couple of reasons, like Nuggets, Game 7s, playoffs. Sure. They've also been great, but I'm telling you, DMVR 1.0, not the same as DMVR 2.0, because DMVR Bar 2.0 just fits way more people.
That's actually the biggest difference. There's just way more people in the bar.
So we're here for these, and I'm telling you, it's packed. And they play now on Saturday morning. It's really early, but I'm telling you,
it's gonna be packed again.
You could hate soccer. Yeah. Soccer could be like, you could personally have something against soccer.
You can be D-line.
You could be D-line. You can be D-line. Soccer. Yeah, absolutely. And still have a great time.
We all need one of those guys in the company.
Because I'm riding a high, man. I'm all in on soccer
Real quick, I just got to shout out our Serbian brothers and potentially sisters. What are you in the chat shouting us out?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You guys know we love that. It's so true, man. So anyway, enough about soccer, guys.
Yeah, that's enough.
Let's move on. We are presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Anyway, that's why we're here in Studio B. But we'll be back in Studio A tomorrow. It's the Nuggets. Take on the Houston Rockets again. Guys.
Oh, what a treat.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
This time, though, it's in Denver. So it's so dumb.
Are the Rockets going to give up at the start of the third quarter or again at the start of the fourth quarter?
I mean, probably way sooner, to be honest. They were on fire. I went back. One of the things I want to do is just give a couple quick notes. It's not a full notebook. I mean, who needs a full notebook of that game? But I do have a couple little things that I've noticed when I went back and rewatched. And also, we just want to get your guys' perspective because I know you guys hopped on very briefly, but since you were at the arena, first thing I noticed in these notes here, Jokic, and I didn't notice this live. He attempted a take foul in the first quarter. Did you know this?
I remember this, yeah.
You remember this? And it ended up being a Şengün layup. So he went out, like he jumped for a three. Şengün pump fakes a three. Jokic jumps. And then he just grabs him. And like, it was a foul.
Yeah.
He grabs him, grabs his jersey, and does this, and then looks at the ref. And then he's like, why didn't you call
it? He was upset that he did not get the call.
And Şengün goes in for the layup. Jokic had three fouls at the half, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that things maybe would have gone differently, this or that. But I'm telling you, last night's game was not really frustrating. For a half, you were underwhelmed. Game could have been way worse, and I hate it with Jokic. Like, Jokic is so great at so many things. He's not perfect, and this is the number one way in which he's not perfect. Those fouls matter against crappy teams, and his willingness to take them is just the worst part. Why take them? I know it's not logical.
It's not. It's just built in him. It's just ingrained in
built
him.
It out,
it's just
though.
A
no.
natural thing.
Totally. I don't accept that, though. Like that's like, okay, you build it in. I'm just saying, I'm watching that one, and I go, man, you know how shitty it would have been to lose to the Knicks, Pistons, and Rockets 3 in a row home games.
He likes the foul. Like he loves it. He was mad about the rule change that the rest of the world was stoked on. You know?
Soon they're gonna change the kickball.
Yeah.
Violation.
I'm telling you, the vibes were, I mean, the Rockets just made shots early on. I mean, when I went back and watched it, I was actually, the Nuggets defense was very lackadaisical, but I really do think, and they moved the ball really well, but I do think in the NBA, man, you make 2 or 3 or 4 threes and a half more above expected, and even bad teams are going to be good. And that's what happened. Houston hit a couple of shots that I thought were well contested, good defensive possessions, and when you hit them all in a row, like, okay, it kind of can throw a team off or whatever. And I thought that's what happened. But here's another thing that happened. One was Yoke got away with the take foul, thank God. And then two, AG took a really weird sidestep three-pointer in the beginning of moments of this game, in like the third possession or fourth possession. Yeah. And Yoke was furious. I didn't know. I mean, I noticed the shot because I'm watching AG, and you could kind of see he had a look in his eye of like, should I do this? It was in the corner, which usually he does that on the wing. It was in the corner, right step, sidestep, shoots a three-pointer. And I just, and then you see Yoke go like,
yeah,
what the F is that?
I do remember
there was
that.
20 seconds on the shot clock or 18 seconds on the shot clock. The reason I bring it up is you don't have to, I understand, I can empathize with the team saying we don't go all out defense or play four quarters or this or that. Like, they did enough to win in this game. But the things that bother me for real are those types of things. The habits where it's like, yeah, man, but it hurts the team. Whenever AG has been so good at picking his spots and he's shooting a great percentage that it's like, yeah, it's not because of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and, that, those are bad habits. Why would we invite those in?
I think it's easiest for those to creep back in against these opponents, you know?
Yeah,
it just is.
Sure.
Like, I think, like, the...
There's no penalty for it.
Yeah, your guard has dropped, right? There's more room for error. There's more... It's kind of, it's, I feel like it's, you know, when you show up to school and it's a substitute teacher and you're like, yeah, we're watching a movie today.
Every
you
time. Know,
it's that kind of energy.
Sure.
In the first quarter. Harrison, we talked about it with Bruce Brown at Shoot Around, and he just said that the worst teams in the leagues, honestly, more often than not, are playing so much harder. And I think you can sort of get lazy in your discipline and your approach because, well, through aggregate talent, we're going to win this thing in the end. And they did, but... You know, a part of the journey for a great team is ironing that stuff out across 82.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was one that kind of bugged me a little bit. And then the Nuggets, I will say this, seem more willing than ever to use Aaron Gordon as the screener in pick and roll. Because I talked about this, and I actually did an episode of The List for Diehards, the NBR Diehards, a video breakdown of how Denver adjusted in the Clippers game in a way that I thought was really fascinating. And I think it's one of those things where when you use regular season to predict how the postseason will go, there's only a few things that actually matter. And one of them is, like, how does a team try to defend you and what are your counters to it? And it's one reason I think the Clippers are a good matchup for Denver is they just don't have good options and they tried some ones that Denver immediately countered. Mm. And one of those was AG. When the Clippers would put a big on AG, they'd put Brown or Zubats on him. Well, Denver just altered their offense to be able to use AG in the Jokic role, and it worked beautifully. AG's been, but in this game, Houston didn't do that. They actually just left a power forward on. Denver still ran a lot of actions with him as the pick-and-roll screener, and I just wonder if that's a thing that, for some reason, Michael Malone is, like, going to it. You know what I mean? He's like, hey, let's develop this as a new weapon we have in our arsenal.
I think it just speaks to how good Aaron Gordon is and how good he's been this season and how they just want to use that option. I mean, yeah. Aaron Gordon... He's usually a mismatch against like 90% of his matchups.
He really
you know?
Is.
He's either too physical or like too quick right. for whoever is guarding him. And so, I mean, the more opportunities that you can get the ball in Aaron Gordon's hands in the paint close to the basket,
yeah.
I love trying to explore that. Yeah. I really like it.
I will say it's funny to me when I go on rewatch. I've really tried to like get into the playbook this year for just for different reasons, just try to like memorize them. It cracks me up how many times a player still doesn't know the plays.
Yeah.
When even I'm like calling out like, hey, you're, no, it's for this or that. And AG is a great example of it because, again, they're placing him in these different roles. And he'll start noticing it. There's a lot of times where Jokic usually, but sometimes it's Murray, will be like telling him like, no, that's the one where you go to there. And he's like, yeah. Oh, okay. And it's KCP too. And again, this is Murray and Jokic have been in the system for longer, so it's understood that they would be a little bit more further along. But it is kind of funny because that's how you really unlock yourself as an offense. A continuity offense, in theory, you should be able to have everybody in interchangeable spots. Yes, you call plays. Yes, you'll say, hey, we're going to run this action this time. But the best thing is when everybody can just, like, wherever you are on the court, just go into an action here and everybody's kind of reading and reacting to that. And I don't know how close Denver is to getting to that point, but I do see them just doing things with guys in different spots more this year than I have seen in previous years.
Love it. Just be less predictable, right?
That would be 100% less predictable. And it's a credit to AG, who I think it's funny because this is year three of him in the system. So it's like,
there's a corner to turn.
There is a corner to turn. And
I mean,
just
he
growth.
Should know the plays by now. Like, come on. Yeah, I mean, it's year three, man. KCP, I can excuse that a little bit. Aaron Gordon, he should know every play.
Like, it's not about, again, I think that you go over in any given game the plays you're planning to run, yeah. And you have a familiarity of the playbook, but you refresh, like, okay, we're going to be focusing on those ones. I'm more talking about just the adjustment of, hey, they did this weird thing. Let's adjust on the fly now and right. have mm-hmm. you guys switch roles.
Right.
And it's like, well, did you learn this play from a different spot? And that's the thing where I'm saying it's just a little bit here and there. But gotcha. Again, when you've been in a system for 3 years, hopefully now it starts to. Everybody kind of knows the different parts of and how to make the different reads of every part of it. Right now, though, Jokic and Murray, I mean, they're on a different level, man. Honestly, those two are on a different level in terms of reading each other, reading the court, and I think it's among the most encouraging things about this whole season. Do you have the Instagram account, or are you still trying to log into it? Well, then just use the photo that I sent you if you can. You can just... Yeah, just pull that up. Do you guys see this? I was told this was posted on Bruce Brown's Instagram account today. Look at this. We already saw Jokic as a young lad wearing a jersey. Bruce Brown wearing a Nuggets jersey.
Love it.
Look at this. How incredible is this? A Chauncey.
It's I incredible. It's a Chauncey. I think that's got to be a Chauncey Billups. Or like a Tony Batty, but I don't think it'd be that. who else is a number four in that era?
I would have to go back and look.
It's got to be a Chauncey Billups jersey.
So you've been in the locker room now a little bit, Wynn, and you as well, Vogt, just been around these guys. My read is that it's funny because Bruce Brown, we didn't know much about his personality. He gets here, we start to research, you know, the country music, hated being in Brooklyn because all the fanfare, this or that. I get the sense, though, that he genuinely, like, loves it. Like, the money is going to trump all at the end of the day. Denver's ability to retain him is going to come down to the money.
Yeah.
Can they get close or whatever? But I feel like, and I don't want to project too much onto him, but it certainly feels like he's most appreciated in Denver. He's playing a style of basketball he likes. And he was asked the other day, I think by Mike Singer, about, you know, how do you feel like it's going? And he's like, fantastic. You know, it's going perfect. I feel like he's very happy with how his Colorado extent has gone.
Absolutely, man. And him, Jeff Green, DeAndre Jordan, it's like three guys who have been in like bigger cities, more limelight the last couple years before they got to Denver. And I think for Bruce Brown and all of them, and I think the word is going to get out in the league pretty soon, Denver is just kind of this hidden oasis where you can just play with this Nikola Jokic guy who's going to get you stats, get you numbers, get you paid. You can just play this beautiful brand of basketball.
See, I want to take away, though, because we keep saying this. I'm interrupting you.
I got 15 seconds, and that was good.
No, I'm going to interrupt you for an important reason, though, because you keep saying it's this Jokic guy. And this is the thing I'm trying to say is, yes, Jokic is the hub of a lot of this, but I feel like I don't want to over-index on that and give it too much credit, because it is a brand of basketball that just allows for freedom.
Yes.
That's what you're getting at.
As I was getting to. Yes, you can play
this great
brand of basketball with this generational talent. And you don't have a lot of pressure. You don't have a lot of eyes on you. It's a great market. It's a great city. It's a great lifestyle that you can live in Denver. And it's just an enjoyable quality of life. And I think Bruce Brown's loving it because of that. And because he can play guard now. He was this weird big man at 6'3" last year in
Brooklyn.
That part's
important.
And he's trying to prove to the rest of the league that he can play guard like he came into the league playing, and everybody seems like they were writing him off that he couldn't the last couple of years. Now he's back playing his natural position, and just everything is lining up for him. I feel like exactly how he envisioned it, and I just think like Denver's a great spot for those types of guys.
And you think too, I mean, to his credit, this is a real bet on yourself and hit a home run kind of situation. Everyone's wondering, how did Denver get him at this price point? Well, Bruce Brown wanted to go to a place where the front office views him as a guard. The head coach is going to give him view him as a guard at times. I think it's an A-plus fit with the head coach. If you're Bruce Brown, he probably has the number one head coach in the league that he should be with in terms of guys that are going to appreciate what he's bringing. fall in love with. I mean, Bruce Brown led all players in minutes last night. Right. This is Malone's new favorite thing.
Maybe on accident.
Maybe. But so this is a guy who bet on himself. But I think Wynn's right. It's an A-plus fit in terms of the state of Colorado and the roster. What one note on Bruce, though, did not realize what a kind of fiery guy he is. Chip on his shoulder about the guard thing. Talks a lot of smack on the court.
Did you know this was a thing with him?
He's a confident guy. He's kind of runs contrary to that. Oh, just country music, golf. Oh, he's a quiet guy. No, he'll get in your face and let you know.
But this is the guard thing in particular, because that I could play guard. Nobody thought I could. And I was like, I just didn't know this was a critique. And it just shows you how much.
But like thinking back, there's no way he could have been like happy about the role he was playing with the Nets. He's not a big man.
Except for here's the thing:
Screener.
What did he say whenever we ask him about different things? He's like, I play 1 through 5 or whatever. Like, you ask him like
the versatility is like definitely one of his calling cards.
But this is my point: is I feel like we've all been praising him. Maybe it's not a Denver thing. Maybe this was a Brooklyn thing. Maybe this was a draft thing. You know, guys hold on to their draft profile critiques more than anything. That's where they really get upset. Maybe it was a draft thing. But I feel like it's all been like, hey, he's so great, he doesn't have to play guard. And then last night, he's like, they said I can't play guard.
It's
like,
well, I think it's different. The last 2 years in Brooklyn type of thing.
You think it is?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's also, if you said Bruce Brown around anyone in this front office, it's like the first thing they would tell you. He can play point guard.
Right. Lee is a point guard.
They loved that about him.
Point guard his first 2 years.
It's a good fit. It's a good fit.
So anyway, I think it's just cool to see. And then him posting that on his own Instagram today, it's like one of those things.
What if just every Nugget somewhere had a picture of them in like a throwback Nuggets jersey from when they were 4 years old? It's just out there. People just need to find it.
If AG has one, I'm going to lose my shit.
Like he might.
Aaron Cortez.
He really might.
Who would he be wearing? Let's just go ahead and say that was Tony Batiste.
Like Kenyon Martin.
Yeah, Kenyon. Who was at the game last night and was very excited to see DeAndre Jordan, who I've been thinking about this, lives one of maybe the 11 coolest lives on planet Earth.
He's up there, man.
He is vibing.
He's enjoying his cool experience in Denver, too.
Yeah. You want to give your other story about it? I think it's cool.
About what?
Taking a photo.
Kenyon?
Yeah.
Oh, I did see that one. When he saw the person using a wheelchair and he stopped to take the photo.
Oh, somebody that's was cool. telling me that was it you that was telling me?
No, not me.
Somebody in the crowd asked him to take a photo of them.
Well, no. So he was walking and he saw someone taking a photo at the court. And then he stopped very respectfully and then very playfully photobombed them. And then it looked to me like he offered to take it.
Oh, okay.
It was actually a very sweet Kenyon moment.
I'll tell you, that was Summer League, though. One of the cool things about Summer League is if you want to take a photo with friends, it's hard to get someone to take it that's not famous. There's so many famous people there that... was it Mike Bibby or something that we had? Like, I was like, we got to get someone to take a photo of us. Like, that's Mike Bibby. That's Should Mike. We just ask him to take our photo?
Also just like the most random guys, too.
That's really random groups of people that you see out there. Anyway, I thought it was cool. Let's take a look at the standings real quick. Actually, Kayla, you can go to ESPN and pull up the NBA standings real quick. And first, I'll go to last year. 20 games is surprisingly predictive about how the playoffs will shake out. Mm. Every single year, it's surprisingly predictive. Let's look at last year through 20 games. Warriors were number one. Golden State was number two. Utah Jazz were number three. That tracks, right? Mm-hmm. Dallas Mavericks were number four. Then the Clippers, the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, which were seventh. Then the Lakers, Grizzlies, Portland. The only things that switched there was Denver moved from 7 to 6, and Memphis basically moved all the way up to 2, I think. They were 7, they went all the way up to 2, and then Minnesota. They basically swapped with Minnesota. So if you look at last year's standings, the top 6 teams, 5 of them were correct in terms of who made it in, and then the play-in teams were mostly correct. You're just swapping Minnesota and Memphis, you know, around. So it was really predictive. So if you zoom in a little bit here, Kale, and we look at the Western Conference, how predictive do you think that this is? I'll start with you, Vogt. How predictive do you think the standings are with where we're going
to
be?
Fairly. I mean, Suns Nuggets being up here is not particularly surprising, right, to anyone. And I think, well, maybe some people with the Suns. Personally, I felt like the regular season success was nearly penned in.
Yeah.
It's really playoff questions. We'll find out. But I think 1-2 makes a lot of sense to me. It does get interesting in 3-4-5, particularly because the Clippers are one of those teams where how much of them have we seen? How much of them will ever actually get on the floor? You know, and they've certainly managed to keep their heads above water. So, like, if they were to leapfrog to 3, no one's too surprised. But obviously I would think the biggest surprise of all is just the Warriors being as low as they are. And that's another kind of weird situation, because if you look at their record post Wiseman, if you look at their record at home, still plenty of reason to think that they're going to win a lot of games.
They're on a three-game winning streak.
The Warriors really are, good. Again, all of a sudden just like the best team in the league, I feel like.
I think they are. You're joking, yeah. But I think they're the sneaky team.
I think they are.
It's a three. We said this yesterday on the pregame show, but I think the three teams in the top of the West are pretty clear. Mm-hmm. Phoenix, Denver, and Golden State, to me, that's the class of it. And Golden State, yes, they're down there at 11 and 10, but come on.
Yeah, I think these are the 10 teams. Actually, these are 9 of the 10 teams that are going to make the playoffs.
Swap, because I'm guessing you have Dallas in.
In for the Kings, yeah.
Oh, real for the Kings. So here's the thing about the Kings. They have played, I guess they played 10 home games.
Yeah, they've lit the beam 10 times.
They've lit the beam 10 times.
The beam will run out of steam.
I kind of still buy Sacramento, man.
Is it the Minnesota's or the Utah's plummet happened?
Oh, God.
Quick,
is it Minnesota? Yeah, Utah. It might be Utah. It might be Utah. Look at them at 12 and 11. They were like 10 and 2 or something. Like, my God. What are they over their last 10 games? 2 and 8. Yeah. Oof. They had a rough stretch here.
Portland, right where, like, they're going to end up right there. You know what I mean?
They might drop.
You think so?
Yeah.
Who do you think will be number one in the West?
Because Golden State's going to be in the top 6, I think.
Oh, I think Golden State will be in the top.
So you need a top 6 team to drop out. And I would probably take Portland out of those teams.
Portland to drop out?
Yeah.
Kings did get robbed, I agree. I'm not going to say your name, but it's fun to have in the chat.
I think Dallas is, by the way, not necessarily a lock. I mean, they're one Luka injury away from, like, again, not a bad tanking. I don't even mean a Luka, like, oh, he tore his ACL. I mean, they're like, he rolled his ankle and missed 7 games.
0-7.
0-7 or 1-6. And it's like, okay, well, what happens if you just go on a 0-7 streak right now and you're 9-17? Well,
they've lost 4 in a row as it is, and he's been healthy.
The vibes are pretty disastrous, actually.
They really are. They really are. So Dallas, to me, is not a lock to get in. The Lakers actually have looked pretty decent lately, even though they lost.
Nembhard!
Are you convinced the Lakers are not in the play-in? They're not a top 6 team, but are you convinced they're not a play-in team?
Pretty convinced, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, pretty convinced.
I'm not convinced, but I'm not shocked at all if they miss all the way out.
Me neither. Yeah, that's convinced. A good way to put
unless
it.
They make a massive trade.
You know who?
They make the Buddy Hield Miles Turner trade.
You know.
Then I could talk myself into thinking.
The crazy
of them
thing
as
about
a plan.
Him is the reason that I'm a little low on the Lakers is LeBron. I don't want to count him
it's
out.
Spicy.
But, it's not. It's really not. It's actually not spicy.
I mean, it is inherently, but I understand what you're saying.
I mean, look, they need urgency. He said they're 7-12, and he just that's not. It's still not like up to the level.
That's my thing, man. Like, okay, what's this team's history when the going gets tough?
They quit.
I don't like. Do they battle back from this start? Probably not. They are battling back. That's what it looks like. And I don't to make up the ground they've lost. I mean, I think that season is toast.
I think the Suns are the number one seed when it all is said and done. They've managed to, you know, the Jay Crowder situation hasn't derailed them. Chris Paul being in and out hasn't derailed them. Cam Johnson being out hasn't derailed them. They're pretty deep. They know what they're doing. They're very talented. They're supremely talented. By the way, you know who's playing great there right now?
Who's that?
Torrey Craig.
Mm.
He's starting for
Love
them.
It.
And he's been absolutely fantastic
Love
for
it.
Them.
Wow,
so I think the Suns are likely to be number one. I think Denver is likely to be number two. I think they're going to be competing with Memphis, depending on how healthy they get. Golden State, depending on how much of a run they could go on. And then these other teams, who knows? Maybe a wild card sneaks into that of Portland or something. But to me, I think Phoenix and Denver are going to be vying the most likely for 1-2 in the West.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about it.
I think so.
The wild card to me so far... Just literally, if you look at where the standings are, the Pelicans. Not sure. Are you sold in either direction about them in terms of them as a top five-ish, top six-ish team?
They have such a good coach. That's the thing about them, and they have a lot of talent. So, I think they'll be up there. I think boosted my opinion of them over the course of the season. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we have some great questions. I did an AMA to try to promote 100 Invisible Threads. I went on Reddit last week, did an AMA, was kind of blown away at how many good questions I got. And when I couldn't get to all of them, I was like, you know what? This will make for a good mailbag episode. So segments 2 and 3, let's see what Reddit had to ask us.
Love it.
Let's see. Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Pick up some Breck Brew today, guys. Pick up some Broncos Country Pale Ale because it's still Broncos season. You can't miss it. It's got that Broncos logo on it. We drink it during the Broncos season. So pick up some Broncos Country Pale Ale from your local liquor store, your local grocery store, wherever you get Breck Brew. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew, check out the Breck Brew Beer Locator on their website. That will tell you where to get Breck Brew close to you. Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR. Make sure to pick up some Broncos Country Pale Ale today.
I know it says Broncos Country, but you know what beer season it is right now for Breck Brew? I'll give you a hint. Pony Keg. Christmas ale.
You know, is this going to be the year I drink the entire pony?
I mean, we know you could do it.
I know.
You've already guaranteed it.
I know I can do it. It's just a matter of me wanting to do it.
The longer you wait, the more washed you get. So also,
that is true.
That is so true. You better do it now. We're going to have to do this. You know, I think we're having a private event at the DNVR bar next week, right, for Brandon? I think that might be, I might bring a pony keg here just to see if you can do this.
You want me to do it in front of our boss?
Yeah, exactly.
In front of the CEO of our company.
Exactly, man.
I was hoping this would just be on, you know, a post-game show in front of thousands of people across the world.
No, private event.
Okay. Maybe. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is my go-to when betting on the NFL this holiday season. Right now, everybody can earn up to 100% profit boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays.
10 legs.
Can find multiple bets like which team will win, player props, point totals. Get up to 10 legs.
Let's go.
Like Brendan Vogt does, and you get 100% profit boost. So right now, that's for everybody, not just new users. Earn up to a 100% profit boost with DraftKings Sportsbook stepped up same game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code DNVR. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game. Get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Alrighty, back here, segment two. Let's get into some mailbags. These things are like, there's some good like broad nuggets. I always like the broad nuggets question, especially when you're playing the Rockets. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on the Rockets here. Beat them tomorrow, Nuggets. Make it easy for us. Hopefully Bones is back.
Hopefully
Bones Highland. I think he will be. I would be shocked if he wasn't. But Bones Highland back in the rotation. I don't think Michael Porter will be back, but you never know. Maybe he's back and then get ready for to go back on the road. Dan Copter. By the way, Reddit names way more hilarious than Twitter names.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
I have to make up some of these ones because they were too bad a name. Dan Copter says, what's your view of the Nuggets' team chemistry? It seems like we have one of the best cultures of any team in the NBA. Do you see any more players in the future choosing Denver like Bruce Brown did this offseason because of Joker's presence? Let's start with the first part of this vote. How do you grade the Nuggets' chemistry relative to other teams' chemistry?
I think relative to the other best teams in the league, that's the area for growth for me, the area for improvement. I think they have to spend this regular season, you know, catching up with that gap. I think, like, Jamal and Jokic have an innate thing that we've seen now is almost like riding a bike. You know, 20 games in, they look amazing in the two men already. So at the core, it's there. But I think they've added new pieces. You know, Porter has been a wild card in terms of playing time. Even Jamal's missed a lot of time. So that, to me, is the difference between them and Phoenix and Boston. And I think it can come, but they just need this season.
Mm-hmm. I think their chemistry is among the best in the league. I've got to think so. There's no drama within the Nuggets.
That's a great point.
There's never been any. Well, there has been little bits of drama here and there, really none compared to most teams in the league.
Nobody's knocked out Jordan Poole, or there's no punch to sucker punch to the
that
teammate.
That's gone public.
That's gone public. Right.
Hey, we're still trying to figure out why Boogie's gone. I don't know. Jesus, it's a joke. That's a joke. It's a joke.
But yes, there's no drama with these guys, and it's also just something that we never worry about. We never think about drama, and I feel like when you're covering a lot of other teams, that's just always something in the back of your head. Yeah. It's never with this team. And I do think a lot of it has to do with Nikola Jokic and how he just sets the tone from that perspective, like drama. If there was drama in the Nuggets locker room, like there quickly wouldn't be, because Nikola Jokic would be like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we arguing? Like, what?
I think even less than that, it's more just like when your top guy doesn't have that drama. Everybody takes their cue from the top guy.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't have the little petty bullshit, then you're not doing the little, like, oh, well, they said this and he thinks they're suspect. There's just none of that going on.
Yeah.
I love how you both took these questions differently because you were basically looking at it as on-court chemistry and you were looking at it more as like team
right.
culture.
Right.
And I think both of these play into it. I would agree with you that I think the on-court chemistry, I will say this. Again, I'm just so impressed with Murray and Jokic.
Yeah.
The way those two guys read each other is just so it shows you that there's very few duos in the NBA that play with each other as long as these two guys have, and it really pays off when you get to this level. I think it's an underrated aspect of this Denver Nuggets team. And I think the other guys, TBD, like Michael Porter obviously being the big one here, sure. but Bones Highland as well, they're better than what their current chemistry levels with the team allow for. They're more talented than where they've gotten mm-hmm. there. But I interpreted this question more like Wynn did in terms of the culture of it, and I would agree. I think Denver is not the best in the NBA, but I think who knows? But I definitely think it's in the upper quartile.
Yeah.
Just in terms of like...
How do we really know who has the best chemistry?
Of course.
Unless just a bunch of GMs were to rank it.
But I do think Wynn's point about the lack of drama is one of the key reasons and why, for the second half of the question, I think the answer is yes. You know, I don't think we'll see stars circle Denver, but I think we'll see the Bruce Brown, so to speak.
This question's great.
Consider it. And I remember asking Bruce about that on Media Day. To be honest, expecting him not to give it much and just kind of brush it aside.
Totally.
Do you enjoy coming to a place like Denver that doesn't grab quite as... He didn't even let me finish the question. He loves it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, look, how many questions to you are about Kyrie, for example, right? If you play on that team. And the questions we ask about Jokic are like, is it so great catching his passes? You know? And that's probably a real relief.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think, honestly, though, I think I will say this. Bruce Brown caliber players, I do think, are going to be flocking to Denver.
Well, that's what I was getting at earlier when I was talking about just Denver being this oasis for those types of guys. Because you really can just have a great experience on the court playing this style with Nikola Jokic. You can have a great experience off of it, just being in a locker room with a bunch of cool guys, just a bunch of low-key guys, no drama. You don't have to worry about anything off the court, you know, when you come into Ball Arena. And it's just a lifestyle and a state of mind that you don't get with every team in the league. So I definitely think that's going to be a thing with those types of guys.
And hopefully it is Bruce Brown as well, because I really do think he seems to be a perfect one of those guys. And also, by the way, Bruce Brown was in a horrible situation. There's a lot of Bruce Browns out there that are just in medium situations. And I do think, and I wonder, like, you know, what it's like in that regard. Like, if you're only in a medium situation, you come to Denver, you're probably happy. You're like, oh, this is better, but whatever. But if you go from the worst to Denver, you're probably like, wow. It's a real gamble out there.
There's just not a lot of pressure. You know, there's not a lot of media. It's just low-key, man. It's a cool city. It's good weather. 300 days of sunshine.
Kale, well, you know what I actually think about this? The Nuggets, it sucks that they always go on the road in October, November, and then they get back in town. Their home stretch is December, January. It's always like, next year they should send them on the road for January, February. They should have the longest road trip ever, but they should be back in Denver the rest of the year when it's great. Kale, do you have the Zeke Nagy picture I put in the doc? Do you have the doc pulled up? Yeah, pull up the doc there because it goes along with this question. Where do you guys see what shoes he was wearing yesterday?
Yeah,
Zeke Nagy.
He's worn them the whole season.
The whole season?
Yeah.
Wearing some Jokers. Do you think Joker hooked him up here with these?
He did.
Do you think...
You know this for a fact?
Yeah.
He gave him a pair?
Zeke Nagy has said that he's the only one who wears the Jokers.
I was kind of hoping Zeke was like, Yoke, look at my shoes. And Yoke was like, good for you.
Brother, buddy. I don't care.
good for you.
According to Zeke, he has said that he's the only one who has these. I don't know how he got them. Maybe I'll find out.
He loved the idea of Jokic not deliberately not giving anyone else them.
Zeke Nagy just stole them out of his locker or something.
Same size.
It's like, wait, Zeke, how do you have this? What? Yeah, like, why does Zeke Nagy have them? But that's what I was told. That's what Zeke Nagy said. Like, he's the only one who Joker gave him to.
The homie Miroslav asks, what was the hardest story to cut out of the documentary? I talked about this one with Obradovic. And I wanted to bring it up because you guys can go back it or you can go to Reddit and read this one. Jelko Obradovic, one of the greatest coaches in European history. Serbian Phil Phil Jackson, won 9 Euro League titles over there, and he's just a like an all-around great coach. And then Drew Nicholas, who's now the director of scouting, played for him. I believe I always screw up the name of how to say this. Panathinaikos.
I can't say it correctly.
He played for him over there, won 2 championships with him, 2 Euro League championships with him. And I asked him about it, just expecting the like, you know, he's a good coach. Raved about him, said he's the greatest coach anywhere. And I was like, even like among NBA, he said greatest coach. And he was so emphatic about it. And I was like, why? Is he like a good X's and O's? He's like, no, he's good at every aspect of coaching. He like, he's great strategist. He's a great practice coach. He knows how to talk to every type of person. Like he just went in and on about it. So missing out on that part. But the one part when I mentioned in Reddit and I forgot was when we mentioned in the invisible threads, connecting everything, I talked about how Obradovic was a player on the national team and was sort of selected by these partisan legends to say, hey, it's your turn to now become a coach and really national team legends. And he became that. But what I forgot was he went from as a player his first year placed on the bench as the head coach of Partizan and a very interesting team, by the way. I'll get to them in a second. But his assistant coach that year was Alexander Nikolic, who was the godfather of Serbian basketball. So again, it's a thread of when you talk about Nikolic to that point was considered the greatest coach. And then he takes Jelko Obradovic, and in the first year, he's like, I'm going to sit right beside you in your first year rookie season and kind of walk you through this. That's another example that kind of shows you this Yugoslavian, at that time, Yugoslavian mentality of like, we always are handing the baton. And I love that part of the culture of this, like, you benefited in so many ways from being a player that was loved and paid and all these different things. And now it's your turn to give back to the game. And you see that in a lot of different ways. And I thought that was cool. Lastly, that team that he took over, the war begins. They're not allowed to play in Belgrade, or they're basically kicked out of Belgrade for various reasons. And they play their season in Spain, outside of Madrid, in a little place, Fuenlabrada, right outside of Madrid. He's the coach. On that team is Danilovic and Djordjevic, who are also featured in the story. I hope you guys have seen the documentary, but go check it out. It's really good. So those two players, the story that wasn't told was those guys' season as young players. I think the average age on that team was like 24 or something. They win EuroLeague. Not projected to. They end up winning EuroLeague in that season as this major underdog playing away from their home arena the entire season. So it's just another one of these great stories that all is existing at the same time as the documentary.
So cool.
As the stories that I think are really, really cool.
I wish we had gotten Eric falling in the mud. But I think your answer is good too.
Do you have one though, seriously though, about the trip, you know, that you just kind of, you know, obviously the documentary tells like 10% of the things that we got to, but is there something?
No, I mean, I would say the other thing too for me is I didn't go on a lot of those interviews with you guys. So I did a lot of my learning sitting down for the screening
the first time.
I kind of had a different version of the trip. So I would say you did a great job.
Any stories there you kind of think were like threads you'd love to learn more about or pull on?
That's a good question. I mean, I would have liked the whole chapter on just the Splav culture of Belgrade.
I feel like we didn't fully get the Splav culture.
That's my fault, actually.
I had one regret. I didn't Splav enough.
We didn't need it, man. We didn't need it. Like,
I think the story's better.
We went hard enough in
we
the
We spent too much time at Red Bar. Not enough time at Red Bar.
Wonder if they're listening.
The homie Alec asks, oh, this is a good one. I wanted to get to this one, and there was a reason I didn't get to it in writing. I think it's better to go into detail here. Something that has always bummed me out is seeing other orgs work directly with local artists for things like shirts, promos, etc. Do you think this is something the Nuggets will ever try? With the TV deal still looking in dire shape, they could that could be a good way to promote the team locally, in his opinion. Are there other ways you think the team can improve its outreach to help build the fan base other than obviously putting them back on television? I love this one from Alec. I'll let you guys answer first. Like, he's mentioning Ronnie Gold, or he's, you know, I've mentioned this. Ronnie Gold made the team, a local artist, street artist in the Bay, makes their playoff shirts, and he's done a bunch of other stuff. You know, they had a local artist design their jerseys this year. Didn't necessarily love the jerseys, but loved the concept of using somebody local for it. So other teams have done this stuff. Do you think Denver, this is a thing that you see them doing in the future? Is this a thing that they could do, or are there other things like this?
Yeah, I would love it. I don't know, man. I almost feel like a couple years ago, pre-pandemic, there was more of this momentum within the Nuggets. Like, I just remember when they rebranded, and you just had like that video of Gary Harris in that shirt with the Skyline logo just in Rhino. Like, I feel like at that point in time, the Nuggets were heading in a direction where like they were more ingrained and just like a part of the city. And then the pandemic hit. And I also think there's just been a lot of turnover within the Nuggets and like within the people that do that type of thing.
I've been here 8 years. That's true. That's one of the traits, is that it feels like every 2 years there's a whole new regime in those, totally. Those roles.
And I don't feel like now they're doing as much of that as they were trending towards doing like 3-4 years ago. And maybe the pandemic had a lot to do with that, and obviously the turnover. But I would like to see a lot more of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to pretend to know what it's like to work there. You know, it's very easy when you're not in a room to think you know how things play out in a room. I get the sense from the outside, at the risk of being incorrect, it just feels a little more, everything's a little more corporate, like send it up for approval, you know, and things are done in a maybe like minimize harm kind of way.
And I imagine that is largely true of most teams, that just corporate culture.
Yes.
Yeah. But maybe more so in Denver.
So it might sound like a weird word to attach to something like this, but it might be viewed as risky or something. I would love to see them go down that direction. And they already did the rebrand, but I would like if it incorporated some elements of out in the community as well, like commissioned murals and art. And I was really struck by when we went to Portland by how much of the Blazers and Dame
it's everywhere,
visually a part of being in the city.
It's so true.
And I think that'd be a really cool thing, you know, if Denver was sort of lit up with, you know, I don't know, the sights and
that
and
stuff just
Nuggets.
Takes effort though. You know, it takes effort and time and resources. It and it's just like another thing that person who probably already has a lot on their plate already has to do.
Right.
To answer the question, I agree with everything you guys are saying. KSC is a larger than normal enterprise for professional sports because they have so many different teams, even just here in Denver. But nonetheless, it's one of my biggest criticisms of them as an entity is that I agree with you. Portland is a great example of this. Golden State, to a lesser extent, is a bigger city. But even there, I just feel like you see a lot of gold, like Warrior stuff and, you know, whatever. But Denver, to me, like, you have to really look for a Nuggets anything.
Right.
Look at Nuggets jersey, a Nuggets anything. And I don't think it's that hard, especially in a city like Denver, where they already own half of the city anyway.
That's a good point.
It's not that hard to just have some murals up. Like, not just posters and like, oh, here's a billboard, which that, to me, is like the easiest thing you could do. But just making it more a part of the city to where it's like, hey, no, man, Nuggets, Denver, those things are synonymous. Those are two in the same. But to answer your broader point, and I know Alec is asking this because he is a an artist himself, I will say that I would not be surprised if the organization in the near future does similar things like this. I said my personal goal, and I know it's D-Line's goal, I want D-Line to be involved in some of the marketing of and some of the promotional items that they do for the playoffs. I think it's the smartest thing they can do. I wish maybe you guys could make a campaign to help. Like, I would love for D-Line to can you imagine if he made the official playoff shirt for that and it was designed by him?
How cool he's not already is just like so stupid.
I mean, Eric is a top, when you talk about famous Nuggets fans, there's not many because there's not that many Nuggets fans. Let's just be honest with you. It's not like the Nuggets fan base. We know this. We're very proud of the community we've built. Still dwarfed in
Pete Davidson, Machine Gun Kelly. those two stand out.
Eric, D-Line is now among the most famous Nuggets fans in the world. And I so mean
don't
that as
pump
an
his ego.
I don't, I mean, I would never, he's loving this. He's not right watching, now. He's not listening to this. I would never say this in front of him. But like, it would be a cool thing to the bullseye center core of the Nuggets fan base if they roped him in. And I think it'd be one of those smart ways to do it.
But I think he could make a shirt a little better than just Elevate.
Mile High City
presented
Honda.
By Toyota.
Yeah, I think Honda he could make a shirt that's just a little bit better.
Actually, we all say this, and then he gets in there, and then he just hates it. He's like, "They're like, Eric, you made a shirt that says Honda Motors presented by Denver Nuggets." He's like, "Look, man, it's all they gave me to work with. I'm very restricted."
It's like, "What do you mean you don't like it?"
Let's take a break. More good questions on the other side.
Guys, the Game Time app. Make sure to use it if you need tickets to Nuggets games, Avalanche games, Broncos games during the summer, Rockies games once that season gets started. If you need tickets to concert shows, whatever you need, Game Time is your go-to. Download the Game Time app. Use our link in the description, in the YouTube description right below us right now. It's also in the podcast description if you're listening to this as a podcast. The Game Time app, it's your one-stop shop. They've got these great last-minute price drops that you can't get on any of those other third-party websites. Just use Game Time for Nuggets tickets, Broncos tickets, Avs tickets, concert shows, whatever you need. Use Game Time. Use our link in the description.
Oso Blanco says refurbished would be the shirt.
Refurbished. Oh, no. That's just all of a sudden the playoff slogan.
Refurbished.
Refurbished. Wait a second.
Hold on. Can you imagine phoning Eric into one of those meetings?
he'd hang himself. Eric.
Eric, we need this to look a little more clean. This doesn't look clean enough.
Eric, more than anybody at the company, hates notes.
Right.
Oh, yeah. He hates notes.
He also hates criticism from people who aren't artists.
Not even criticism, just like interpretation. But if he had to do that with the Honda Motors reps, who had like creative
authority
over him.
They're like, what do you think about a white shirt?
Yeah. What's a good that represents the Nuggets playoffs, but also the new Kia Sorento. What word can do both? It'd be really tough. It's a tough sell.
It's a nightmare.
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
All right. Boneyard Bill asks, and he's, by the way, Boneyard Bill, a homie, man. He's been in a few times, and he's the one that brought the sirens on. He's the one that brought the Jokic head. He's the one that brought it in. So Boneyard Bill says, hi, Adam. What does DNVR, why does DNVR not show the pregame shows on the TV? At the bar. Would love to hear you guys when he's down there at the bar. This will be taken care of. This will be not taken care of. This will be a thing we do eventually. Originally, it was technology. It was the ability to be able to do that. New bar partner means new things. And I think we're going to start out by making the post-game shows in that little space below the studio. Mm. But just so you know, if you're ever at the DNVR bar now, almost any time, not every time, but almost any time, if you want to come on up, ask your server. Just come on up and you can watch the show live. We almost always have at least one or two people that are watching the show live in person. Like, it's not an actual
I like audience. Doing it in front of a live audience, too.
But it's like
too.
One or two people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to, like, laugh. You have to be an easy audience. Yeah. I've had people that sit there and are like, you're like, man, I thought we're doing great here.
Eye contact for the one laugh.
Great over here. What the hell, man? All right. Anyway, good question. Iglia says, anyone you really enjoy interacting with in the organization that is just a fun person to be around but doesn't spend a lot of time in the spotlight? I like this question.
Flacco Chanchar.
That's a player. You went straight to a player.
Yeah, but I just wanted to take this opportunity to say, like, Flacco's really nice, really willing to talk, super dope, actually. Yeah. I found him to be, like, a very down-to-earth guy. So, and he's getting his moment. So I just wanted to get that out there, too, that he's a seemingly great dude.
I'll give you an example. The Tim Connelly front office, when he first got here, we all laughed because there were so many characters, man. Like, Jim Klebanoff is a character. I'm not around that guy a whole lot, but he's like the main character in a room whenever he's in there. Jared Jeffries is another guy who's often the main character. And like, you know, he's just such a, like, he's 7 feet tall and also the loudest personality.
Right. Right.
So like, it's like, he doesn't, you don't never miss him. You know, I think Ben Tenzer's always like an interesting guy to chat with and just like super down to earth. He's also phenomenal at ping pong. There's a lot of people. And now the front office has obviously evolved into the Calvin Booth front office and he's brought in other people. And those are people, those are names you like either hear about once and then that's it, or you'll never hear about them. You know, Tommy Balchettis and Marty Poshius and all these people. There's like really, there's really cool people that are behind the scenes that just don't, you don't hear about a whole lot.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's funny because like, the front office, you know what everybody does on the coaching staff, obviously. Like, they're at practice, they're at shoot-arounds, they're at the games. The front office, their job description is, like, so much more vague.
Very true.
Half the time, they're, like, out scouting. Like, Marty just went on this huge European scouting trip, and he's back now. He was at the game last night. I saw him. They're out scouting college, international. Like, they're just in and out so much more that, like, they're just not around as much. It's just a funny dynamic, I feel like.
But I have really, you know, whatever we were trying to talk, like, describe with the culture, you know, Yoke's approachable, everything's kind of down to earth. I would say that applies to my interactions with folks in the front office throughout this organization.
Two people I like interacting with, Jokic's brothers. I talked with Strahinja last night about the documentary. He said he loved it.
Yeah, big fan. You got the stamp of approval. Hell yeah. I will say everybody in Denver media has a Nick O'Hare, who's the head of PR, has a Nick O'Hare impression. So
yours is the best. One.
So there you go.
Do it.
Native N says, specifically asking about someone Nuggets fans should know about because they're a key part of our success, but also because they're good people.
So, is that the same question?
I don't think so, unless I screwed up.
It
does sound like the same one.
Yeah.
Now, then maybe we move on. Young Panda says, do you ever get nervous before talking to players, staff, or are you used to it by now? I like this one. I'll go first on this one. Players can be hard to talk to, man. And only because they are, I'm telling you, most of them are just not that, like, they don't like media. So, yes. Like, they go into it like it's like a battle. It's like, you guys see Greg Popovich and the way he used to, he's cooled off from this. I think he took criticism and, like, internalized it and has actually changed a little bit.
Yeah.
But you see how Greg Popovich will make it like, you're coming to war. If you have a question for me, you better be ready to, like, go back and forth. There's a lot of players that are that way. So when you say, do we get nervous? Like, oh my God, he's a famous person. No, you get nervous because it's like, I only get one chance to ask this question. You get Jamal Murray in a scrum. You might not talk to him again for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I really have this question I want to get. How do I get him to answer it? How do I blah, blah, blah. And then you ask it and you don't get anything. And you're like, damn.
Yeah.
So that's, I get nervous in that way, but only in that way.
I've gotten nervous before when you have to like ask a tough question, yeah. For sure. No, I mean, I feel like everybody does. But I think what I have to tell myself and what everybody has to tell themselves is like, doesn't matter.
Doesn't we've all done it. Like, we've all had some version of a slip up. And
like, if you ask a question somebody doesn't like, they'll be mad at it for literally 5 seconds and then they'll walk off the podium and forget about
it. Not think about you ever again.
Right. Doesn't matter. I've been nervous asking players questions, of course.
Sorry to cut you off there, Wynn. Yeah, the first year I did this, I was super nervous because I had no idea. Like, is there a rule book? You know what I mean? Like, are you doing it right? Are you doing it wrong? I would say now it's actually a little bit harder to ask a good question than you'd think because you don't know what mood these guys are coming in. And if you misword it just like a little bit, the question's misinterpreted or it's brushed off.
This is why you love when people are like, how come nobody asks why Michael Malone, blah, blah, blah. You're like, first of all, I just ask, why don't you play this guy?
Yeah. Like,
they're not going to get an answer.
Like, that's the thing. We have done that. Like one time I was like, hey, like Malik was playing well and then he didn't play in the second half. Like what went into that decision? And he looked at me, it was like 6 seconds of cold silence. And he's like, I thought it gave us the best chance to win. I'm like, all right,
which dude. Is the answer which you is get when you ask to, that yeah, question. Ask
so, that's the answer to all of those questions.
Dude, somebody asked Jamal Murray after he had a best game of his career last game about it, and he said something like, I just make shots I usually do. Like, come on, that's not the answer. But again, this just shows you how hard it is to get these guys to not think you're putting them in a box. I think it's actually bad as a general NBA PR. Like, I feel like the NBA could, like, has impacted the way players talk and interact with media in a way that's like horrible, as evidenced by their atrocious ratings right now. And have you seen, by the way, that the ratings for football keep going up and up and up? It's like actually out of this world.
Yeah.
The way that they keep setting records. Yeah. Well, the NBA, by the way, I don't, again, these are things I don't know if everybody cares about, but I care about. The NBA right now for League Pass, their Black Friday deals are basically like, does anyone want League Pass for free?
Right.
You know why? And you know why? It's 100% sure this is why. Because their ratings suck and a TV deal is up and they want to be able to shoot, as The Athletic
they
has
want
done
the numbers.
And said, look, we have almost 1 million people subscribed to us. Well, why? Because subscription is free. That's what they want for League Pass. They want to say, look how many people are watching our product.
And, yeah.
Which is actually not the case, which is even more concerning. But nonetheless, yeah, right. I digest.
I digest.
Were you going to add something to that?
No, just that it's, you know, it's you want to try to word it perfectly because if you don't, the whole thing goes awry. But then you overthink the wording, and that's actually usually the origin of flubs.
Yeah. I know it's digressed, by the way. You looked at me as if you thought I did not know that.
I just didn't know if you knew that you said digest. Yeah, I just
of course.
Didn't.
Let's see where else we go. Denver Nuggets. Wow, the Denver Nuggets asked this one. How different was your perception of Serbia and the culture after your visit? I answered this one a little bit, but I'm curious your guys's.
I actually didn't hear the question just now.
I mean, completely, just because I knew very little about Serbian culture. Like, I thought people were going to be kind of pissed that we were there and, like, had cameras and were like, oh, we're doing a documentary on Nikola Jokic and Serbia basketball.
You thought they'd be mad about that?
Yeah. You know, like, oh, you're coming into our country and, like, just getting drunk and like meeting all these people. And
you thought there was a little bit of that?
Just as someone who monitors the social media.
Oh,
like,
it's not
100% adoration.
But like, I didn't feel
but it's
any
also
of that
closer, though, I
when
say.
I was there.
I mean, look, there's drunk, angry people everywhere. I feel like that's what we
I didn't see. Feel any of that when I was there. I didn't expect people to be so welcoming.
Yeah, like, you didn't see that in the real world. You saw that online. Yes.
That was like my biggest takeaway, or one of them, was just how welcoming everybody was. And I thought that was awesome. It was not what I expected.
Yeah, just to be clear, not in our experience there.
Just on the internet.
Strong double down with Wynn on that it was ludicrously welcoming. And I didn't, like, I think there are some cultures you think that are famous for, you know, hospitality. This is, I guess, to the point of the trip, a culture that you don't hear much about sans the negative stuff or the involvement in the complicated stuff. So that was a really cool thing to learn. Like it was, it actually, I really hope that's something I take with me. Like I have people who come to see me and it's like, all right, I'll get you a place to sleep. And, but now it's like, well, I want to have my best food out, my best booze out. I'm going to plan the best trip. Like I want them, if someone's coming to Denver,
you want them.
Yeah. I want Denver to stunt, you know?
You want them to have the experience we had there with show them your best face.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that.
Was that the question? I still don't.
Here, I'll do this one slow for you. Poncho Bronco says, thanks for all the great Nuggets content and spaces you've helped make for fans come together. My question is, how can the Nuggets increase their physicality? Do they need to add a player? And if it's the mindset, when should we worry if they have it or not?
I love this question. I think that the Nuggets, like when they're playing well, they're physical.
I agree.
They're not playing well, they're soft.
That's such a good take win. First half against the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, they're soft. Second half, they're physical.
So true.
The softest game ever, to be honest with you.
It's just, that's just how this team is.
It is. That's a great
take. If you want to be physical, like all the time, 48 minutes of every single game, yeah, you need a couple more. Just super physical guys, I think.
Do love, though, that that's the way Aaron Gordon's played for the most part of the season. And he's the guy who brings this in the roster in a way that maybe no one in the Yoke era, I don't know, Fareed, I wasn't around for that, but.
He was not physical.
Athletic, but not. The way Gordon is just going through dudes right now, it's just like he's running through brick walls. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Zamora asks, what is something from Serbian basketball culture that you wish was a bigger part of our American game? I thought this was a great question. I'm bummed I didn't get to it on the AMA. I'll give you a couple things here. And I've talked about this. I think I've talked about it on the show. But if not, I'm just going to read. I might be repeating myself here. But I've been thinking about it so much. I don't believe there is a supreme basketball culture out there. It's not the American culture. Americans have 330 million people, a deep tradition, and people that play the sport, and a wide variety of races and cultures and beliefs and systems. Like Los Angeles and New York, very different. They produce different styles of basketball. So their advantage is both, or our advantage is both one of scale and also of diversity, in my opinion. And there's a lot of interesting things that break them here. But there are things about the American game that has holes in it, and we've seen it. There's things in the Serbian, Yugoslavian game that have holes in it, the Spanish game, whatever. And I think the more you sort of can take from those, the more complete your knowledge of basketball, your knowledge base will be. But if I took one specifically from Serbian basketball culture, there's two things, actually. One, and this is in the documentary, I really loved hearing people talk about the relationship, the fans, the relationship they have to their team, and players reciprocating that. And I think that has become so broken in the NBA in the Adam Silver era of this idea of like players in many ways being above their own fan bases and disconnected from their own fan bases, and fan bases really disconnecting on like human levels from their players in a way that I think is really gross. And I talk about in the documentary how we talked to Milan Doncic, who kind of laughed off the idea that he's been hit with coins and bottles and batteries in games. And you think, well, that's horrible. My God, you must hate it. And he's like, no, but you think about how much these games must mean to those people that they do this. And it's like this very understanding of where these two pieces fit to next to each other, even when the things aren't necessarily appreciated. And so for me, that's one of them. Like, players, I really wish had a better appreciation of what it is that they mean to their cities and to their fans. And I just feel like that being broken is one of the things that's really bad.
Why do you think Bones is popping off, man?
Man, but it's so meaningful, man. Right. And I mean this sincerely. Like, Bones, and maybe this is just because he's young, but Bones still talks, even to media, like they're human beings and people.
Yes.
His guard is down. In a way that always makes me nervous, because I'm always like, I don't think we're ever going to do this where you're just kind of like, oh man, he said something off the cuff that he'll regret this if I share it with the world or whatever. But like, and I hope he doesn't ever get taken advantage of in those ways.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's so jarring when he's just like, hey man, what's going on?
I know.
How are you doing?
Right.
Right.
Things good with the family? And you're just like, oh my God, a human being, a human interaction.
Yeah, man. It's so rare.
It's so rare that it sticks out. And it's not even like he's like Mother Teresa or whatever. He's just like regular human being. And my point is that schism. Can I give one more, though? I want to hear your guy ahead. Give you more time to think. The other one is, and I actually confirmed this with Jokic as a piece of tradition with the Serbian national team. I'm told that teams and club teams even, but especially the national team, eat every meal together. They go to the same restaurant every single day. They'll hang out in the one hotel room. They'll pick a spot. They'll all come and hang out. It's not like, oh, you are with your group, I'm with my group. That doesn't exist. And the eating, they said that you will not even enter the restaurant until everyone has arrived. Meaning there's no like, oh, Wind, you're going to be 30 minutes late. No problem. Like, oh, you won't be there this time. Whatever. That's cool. No, it's like, no, we're going to dinner, guys. Like, be there at 6. We'll all be there. Oh, we're all here? Let's go get our table and eat together. And it's just like, they're so close. And Jokic said, yeah, well, part of that is I don't see these guys that often. So I spend 6 weeks with them doing an international, like national team.
That's a good point.
It's like really nice. And you couldn't expect that over 8 months of an NBA season or whatever. But at the same time, I still think there's something about, hey, man, forming a group is really, really hard when it's more than two or three people. When you have 15 players on a roster, it's so hard to become cohesive. And those things go a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just love the like when we were watching the Serbian national team play this summer, just the unselfishness that they play with. And I actually think it's something that the Nuggets do probably better than most NBA teams in terms of just playing together, playing as one, playing as a team. It's really rare in the NBA when like nobody cares who gets the credit, who scores. It's just all about winning. And I actually feel like the Nuggets, more so than a lot of other teams, just feel that way.
I agree with that.
And that's another thing that goes back to Jokic and goes back to just the culture and how great of a team and organization the Nuggets are to play for, and why a lot of these guys, Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, DeAndre Jordan, like to play here, is that nobody cares who gets the credit. Right. And like it's something that, you know, Michael Malone talks about a lot, and we've talked about, like, is it real? Like, or is this just stuff we're kind of making up? But I really do feel like the Nuggets, compared to a lot of other teams, it's just kind of different, where Denver really just cares about winning, you know? And Bruce Brown's fine if he doesn't score and just gets like 10 rebounds and 10 assists and the Nuggets win, you know? Like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope doesn't care if he scores. It's just like if the Nuggets win, you know? And like that's really, really rare in the NBA. And so I think the Nuggets, they have that team first, selfless approach. I really think they do. And obviously, like, Serbia is all about that.
Yeah, for me, and this could be more of a European thing than exclusively or specifically Serbian. But sure. coaching influence, to me, I'm kind of fascinated by, now that's kind of a wild take after coaching just lost them. competition, but I think there is just something.
I see what you mean, though.
There's just a respect. Like, first of all, this idea of like a really respected class of coaches. There's like one guy in the, like, even you think of like Steve Kerr, who would be heralded, and like they're halfway ready to run him out of town in San Francisco. It's like we talk about Popovich with that reverence, and almost no one else. And that's not to say that that they've earned it and they haven't gotten it. It's just that there's a deep irony to how quickly everyone blames a coach in the NBA when you realize how little influence these guys actually have in so many organizations.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's different for the best teams, but there are a lot of coaches who it's like they're effectively powerless out there, man. And that does not seem to be the case in Europe. And it's, I've noticed that in the comments as well. You know, when we'll say like, well, this is Jokic's job as the leader, a lot of Serbian fans are like, what are you talking about? That's right. A coach's job. And so to me, they too often are almost like figureheads and ultimately powerless.
I will say another thing, and this, you can cue the outro music here, Kale, but the other thing is, and we've talked about this a little bit, in the US, everything about the experience in the arena is about monetization. From the moment you walk in to every little piece of this is like, let's make a little bit more money here. Let's bring in a sponsor that does the segment during a timeout here and this or that. And it's like so ridiculous that the experience of going to an NBA game is its own fun, but it's like a different fun.
It kind of sucks.
It's so stripped down in Serbia and that there's literally no food or alcohol sold at the arena, which is leaving so much money on the table. It's just, it's insane because it's so far the opposite that it would never happen in the US. But I do think you could learn something just from like, guys, is the all of the DJ interruptions yeah, and every little thing that we have during everything, is it at some point just distracting? And like kind of
I was actually sitting there last night when like the starting or the pregame introduction like thing was going on, and it's just like Why are we sitting here for 2 minutes in a dark arena while this video plays that the players don't care about? Really, nobody's watching. We're all just like annoyed that this really loud music is blaring.
And there's something that I just wonder if it actually makes it harder to cheer because you're so many like interruptions and things. And like when you watch that game against Serbia Greece, and look, I get it. It's the first time Jokic, those guys have seen Jokic play. You can't capture that same thing. It's hard. It's apples and oranges. But there is just something to like a crowd knows what to do when you get out of the way. Then the crowd makes you maybe more knows what to do. When in Nuggets Arena, if you just didn't do any of the in-arena entertainment, and by the way, it's not the Nuggets. This is every team in the NBA does the exact same thing. This is not a Nuggets-specific thing. But would a crowd be like confused? Maybe for a game or two, but I feel like...
Initially, they would because we're so trained us to be told when to chant Nuggets.
Right. Yeah, like, hold on. Was there anything on the board?
Wait, when
here?
Do I chant Let's Go Nuggets? Oh, now. Okay.
All right, here we go. But like, you watch that one and it's like the crowd just is into it and there's no distractions. They're just like, we're focused on the game and it's going on and we're all going nuts. And even at Maracana Stadium for that soccer game, man, like, I didn't speak Serbian. The guy next to me kept talking to me. I didn't have a word. I could not understand a word he was saying. Never stopped him. He knew I didn't speak English, or I didn't speak Serbian, and he kept talking to me literally every 20 seconds. Like, because you know, in soccer, like if something happens, it's not a guy kicks the ball, and he'd be like, and I'd be like, Dob, so mad too, man. Like, you gotta control it. I don't know.
Just
nonstop. And like guys in front and behind, everybody here just kind of like, so dude, people just talk to each other, man. When there's no distractions.
Like, if there, can we just get rid of the Western Union first shot?
No, we can't. We can never get rid of it.
Who's going to pay them to not have that?
I need to watch some celebrity I've never heard of go up and brick a free throw?
We got to get rich enough that we could sponsor.
Does anybody really want to sign Ball from Miss Colorado? No.
Not at all. Yeah, for sure. True.
That's who shot the Western Union first shot a couple games.
Miss Colorado, huh?
Miss Colorado.
We got to get.
Where do you put that basketball if you get it?
DNVR has to get big enough that we could sponsor all these events. And there's one disclaimer. It just says, this game brought to you with limited interruption thanks to DNVR.
Oh, my God. That would be our greatest achievement.
It really would be.
I actually want to go on with this segment for a while. Just ridiculous things at NBA games.
You got 20 seconds. What else you got?
The Papa Shot competition during one of the timeouts.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing?
Heidi's Deli used to have a like sandwich making thing where you had to like pull a giant piece of bread down that you had to go get the cheese. And it was just like, this is sponsorship. I'm never eating at Heidi's Deli. In fact, it went under, so thankfully.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just the music played during every possession.
We're getting old that we hate this part. I'm with you on this one.
Yeah, chat's railing old men takes from us.
These are old men. Dude. They're not old men takes.
Bring it on, chat. Bring it on.
This is old men take. Yeah, that I never want to be young. It's like, well, we love the Heidi's Deli sandwich stack. God. Ridiculous, man. Oh. I'm telling you, ridiculous. Yeah. All right, everybody, thanks for watching us. Nuggets are back in Denver. So are the Houston Rockets. Round number 2 tomorrow. You know we'll be right back here. As always, hit that like button on the way out.
Go Eagles. You got next.
You got next.